that you have a presentation. Have you a presentation?
Just.
Yes.
Okay. Right, okay. So good morning, although I think I should say buongiorno ai colleghi italiani. Bonjour, buenos dias. Sorry, but my Korean is non-existent, so I'm afraid in that respect I'm going to keep mum, which is the best thing I could do. In the first place, I'd like to apologize for my English in case that that might cause any drawbacks in trying to convey what I'm trying to say. English is not my mother tongue. Actually, it's my mother-in-law tongue because it's my wife's language, not mine. And although I've been with her for nearly 20 years now, I still have a lot of things to learn from her. Secondly, I'd like to thank you for being here, not with Ernie, with some of the other lecturers who are going to talk about probably more interesting things than what I'm going to say today. Now, our presentation is called, as you can see, Perspectives about Learning Design with LAMS 2 for University Lecturers. And it's been a group of lecturers, those mentioned there, Gregorio Rodriguez sitting over here, who's coordinating our work, Antonio García Morilla, that's myself, Antonio Gámez, Enrique Juan González Conejero, giving technical support, and Soledad Ibarra. I'm going to tell you about a little bit about how this came about and why we decided to bring this presentation here. You know what they say about a camel? A camel is a horse designed by a committee. I hope that we wanted to design a horse, and I hope that the actual outcome is a horse. A horse and not a camel, as that might be the case. Now, the idea when we thought about this was to provide a very practical point of view. Except Gregorio and Soledad, who are experts on education, the group of lecturers involved in that, and the group of lecturers who've been talking, who've been working on LAMS for the last 3 months, I think, when we first got in touch with these two, are from different areas. And we thought it might be interesting to provide this sort of feet on the ground approach for from lecturers who've been using this tool and trying to comment on advantages and disadvantages and limitations, and trying to give our opinion of what we thought the LAMS could provide. With this objective in mind, we designed this presentation with that content. You can see there: objectives, methodology, group interview results, conclusion, and to finish with some advantages and disadvantages, or probably things we didn't manage to learn how to do it, and I hope that both James or Ernie, maybe later on, might help us to sort out those problems. As a result of this first encounter with LAMS 3 months ago, we decided to come here and to analyze the possibility of LAMS for university lectures, and then try to analyze the integration of LAMS and Moodle for using virtual campus in the second presentation, which just comes right after mine. Virtual campus is what we call our platform for students to, based on Moodle. It's a platform that we use in our university, University of Cadiz, the very far south of Europe, and that's what been using for the last 3 years, I think. Moodle's been used for the last 3 years now. When we first started working with LAMS, we thought that LAMS and Moodle could go together very well and could be an interesting tool in that respect in order to be used. Now, the group was formed, as I said, about 3-4 months ago as a result of a seminar in which we were trying to analyze different ideas about Moodle, about this virtual campus. And as a result of this seminar, a group of lecturers, 8 in total, from different areas, as different as science, education, mathematics, chemistry, humanities, history, applied linguistics and translation, like myself, 8 university lecturers decided to start working on this and try to see the advantages and disadvantages, the scope of LAMS from, as I said, from a very practical point of view. We had a very basic training in order to do that. We started fiddling with LAMS and trying to do units and so on, and tried to design some sequences for university students and see how that could be used. Then we prepared a group interview. Those 8 university lecturers prepared a group interview. We were sort of guinea pigs, where at the same time we were designing the units and being students for other lecturers who have been designing units at the same time. So that was more or less the idea, and this is the outcome. For this interview, this sort of survey, we focused on those 4 different elements: planning aspects of a lesson, previewing lessons, the visual overview of what we found, and the use of standardized templates as a regular tool for all of us, if that might be the case. And those are the different conclusions of our survey, of our interview. We found some positive aspects, which I'm going to talk about now, some negative aspects, or rather things that we didn't know how to work out. And the positive aspects in when planning the lesson were as follows. As I said before, I don't want to disappoint anybody about that. It's from a very practical point of view. I'm using this tool. What did I find? How can I evaluate what I've just done? In the first place, LAMS helped. We thought that LAMS helped comprehensively structure university lessons in a very clear and straightforward way. And also, it reflects the sequence very clearly, both for the ones designing it and particularly for students. For future students, we are planning to use LAMS, if possible, for the next academic year. And we hope that this positive aspect can be reflected with real students and not with guinea pigs, as I said before, where those 8 lecturers are working on this. Then the global vision of the sequence is highly valued as well, in the sense that we thought it was quite helpful. It could help the whole process of designing and teaching and learning. A very good aspect, which was considered as well, was the simplicity compared to other offering tools that you can find as well, like, I don't know, Excel, even Reload. You really need to be very well trained in using that sort of thing, while this is just basically drag and drop and copy and paste, and that's about it, really. It's very simple to use, and very intuitive. Some negative aspects we thought of, and I'd like to point out these elements not as as a criticism to the tool, but rather as something we didn't manage to find out how to do. The first one was linearity. Probably, if there was some possibility of using alternatives for the sequence is quite linear, and that's it, full stop. But that doesn't, it reflects our way of thinking, I would say. So but not all students in the same group should think in the same way. So maybe we could think of some way of designing alternatives for the student to complete the sequence, but giving alternatives, not just following the unit, the sequence that we designed. Branching, which is obviously linked to this linearity problem, implies that there's only one way to finish the sequence. And we thought that there might be the possibility of including something to help in that respect. 2 elements from a graphical point of view, which I think are illustrated later on. The first one is that we found that there was need to integrate some type of element to define the stage of the design of the sequence. When you have different sequences, you need to know if that sequence A, B, or C is completely finished, and you can't forget about that, or is in the process of being finished, and there's something missing. And something related to that as well is you need some kind of label to indicate within the sequence. One particular activity is if what the process is, if it's finished, if you need to include some sort of element, if it's a forum and you need to include some sort of link to indicate just visually some kind of information about that sort of thing. That might be a possibility, that might be an idea, some kind of traffic lights indicating if it's green it's okay, it's finished and there's no problem, while red and some instruction there might indicate that you need to include instructions or you need to include a question or whatever. Something that might help in advance before you actually enter into the activity to have some sort of idea of what you need to, what needs to be done. When previewing the lesson from a learner's perspective, we also thought that the global opinion was very positive, as I think most of us would agree. And even for our third readers, for people who weren't involved nor in the process of designing the sequence, nor in the actual process of being the guinea pig, of being the student. When we talked about LAMS with other colleagues and we showed what we were doing and what we were experimenting with and so on, they thought that it might be a good tool, a very useful tool to be used in, we hope, in the short term. As for visual and graphic interface, once again, intuition comes in the first place. The simple process of designing a unit, which is quite, as you can see, those of you who have used LAMS, it's very simple to use, and the icons and the colors facilitate choice with no problem at all, particularly if you compare it with some other authoring tools, as I mentioned before. And then another very good aspect was reusability. The possibility of exchanging with just a simple zip file, the possibility of exchanging units with other lecturers, that helps a lot in what Diana, I think it was, called open learning this morning, which I think it's very useful, particularly at university level, which probably some of you will agree with me in the sense that this idea of collaborative work and open learning and so on, at the university level, it's sometimes very difficult. You work in your area of knowledge and you don't tend to share, you don't tend to comment, or you don't just want to do what you want to do, and that's it. But sharing, it's something that sometimes it's out of place. And also considering that some of our colleagues tend to focus too much on traditional learning, traditional lecturing, where all these tools, PowerPoint, and now LAMS and so on, they're just tools that can be avoided. And you know that some people believe that way. So exchanging the sequences is quite straightforward, it's accessible, it's a good thing. And LAMS allows the redesign of units by a third party, which comes to point out that idea of open learning. As a summary, visual design, very intuitive, as we said before, very easy to design the learning units, as we have mentioned. It's very simple, very easy, very straightforward to supervise students' performance, with those lines where you know where every student is, what they've done and what and how they are developing the unit and so on. Unit reusability is a great advantage as well. The integration with other applications, things like, I think we've got one example here of copying and pasting from Word and from different programs, and that was done without difficulty at all. And live edit, which we haven't been able to test as it's relatively new in the new version, 2.0.3, is that right? Which was, I don't think it's even been installed in our server. And we hope that live edit will facilitate live design and changes of units already finished, which seems to be one of the drawbacks as well. The limitations we found is, the first one was trying to integrate what we've done with LAMS in terms of assessment with Moodle. we didn't find a way to include the marks. Once the unit is finished or assessed, if you want, we didn't know how to integrate those results with Moodle. We couldn't find that the way to do that. Another one, another limitation, another drawback we had was trying to integrate different sequences to design a new one. I don't know if that's possible. If you have unit A, B, and C, but you want to create a unit D with parts of different units before, I don't know if you can do that. You can. So maybe that might be a suggestion for the future, as well as linearity and the possibility of branching. I think I've seen one PowerPoint on LAMS community about grouping, and in a way that sorts out the idea of branching, trying to form different groups and so on, but I don't know if that's what I was just trying to, or we were trying to decide. And then simultaneous design by different lecturers, which Ernie was telling us about, can be done only if you share some common directory and so on, but there are no possibilities of designing simultaneously, working simultaneously on that design. Probably it's complicated, and if you haven't done it, I'm sure you have your reasons. Just a couple of examples of the sort of thing we were working on. That's probably a very highly complex unit with lots of elements. But that was more or less the sort of idea we were working on. We're just trying to include nearly everything really in that sequence. You have forums and scribes, you have optional activities with question and answers, you have videos integrated there to show one particular element. But that's, I think, a far too complicated unit, you know, to be put into practice in normal day-to-day life. That's another of the units where a questionnaire was illustrating from the point of view. That's from the point of view of the learner, if I remember rightly. Yes. Trying to include graphics. Well, very simple as well. Attention, young children. This is the parents, and this isn't. Remember this at all times. That was a little joke. But that was very simple. It was copy and paste, and no difficulty whatsoever in order to design this sort of thing. And the visual aspect, the actual presentation for students was very simple as well. No problem. And that's about it, really. I hope I didn't disappoint anybody in terms of what I actually wanted to tell you, which was, from a very practical point of view, I'm not an expert on learning design. I'm not an expert on computers. I just used this, and most of us did the same thing. Just try to use this tool and see the possibilities that the outcome, what the outcome might be. And we thought it was very handy, very useful. Hopefully, by October next year, we'll be using it regularly with students. We'll talk about it with some other colleagues. And I'm sure that it's going to be a success in our university, as I think, as I hope you expect as well. So thank you very much for your attention, and open to discussion and questions if you have any.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know if you can tell us some more about the aspect of reuse of different sequences, sharing sequences, reuse and adaptation of different sequences by different
lecturers. Well, that was simple enough, as we both we were both monitors and students, so basically anybody could help me with the design of one particular activity and give suggestions about, I think this is a good idea, this is not a good idea, I will include this sort of activity, I will include this, that sort of activity, and that, in that respect, we didn't find any difficulty. So
did you find cases where one sequence that had been created by one practitioner was then picked up and used by another, or adapted in some way to suit a different subject or a different circumstance, a different set of learners?
Well, as there were samples, really, just for the eight of us, it hasn't been, the scope of our experiments been very limited to just the eight people who are working on that. Hopefully, we might do something in a bigger scale for next year when we are, if we are working with students. But right now, the scope was very limited to those lectures, or the different possibilities of analysis and so on was very limited as well.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about the integration between Moodle and LAN.
Yep.
And to the what extent did your students and staff feel that they were an integrated system or two distinct systems?
I think that's going to be part of our next presentation. But we've had, basically we have had troubles trying to integrate both. The first one, that the impossibility or nearly impossibility, as we couldn't manage to find a way out of integrating the assessment, we thought that was an important drawback, because if you don't find how your work in LAMS is going to be assessed in Moodle, then what's the point of using LAMS? More or less, that was the conclusion of that. So basically we had some difficulties, but from I think that there are technical problems as well involved, and I couldn't tell you about that, just telling you about this lecturer's point of view. We had that sort of impression that that was difficult to integrate, but nevertheless a colleague of mine is going to tell you about a little bit more about Moodle and LAMS in a minute.
Finish.
Uh-huh.
Not because, you know, they didn't want to do the tasks or, you know, the whatever, laziness or whatever. But I think that the kind of advanced planner, which does show the kind of activity that they were going to do, wasn't giving them somehow enough information, more holistic, richer information about the context and the nature of the overall, you know, activity sequence, I think, to kind of make sense of the steps that they were then going to be going through. And I was just wondering if, well, I guess A, if you've experienced that as well.
Absolutely the same thing, yes.
B, if that's something that LAMS 2 has kind of somehow changed.
Well, we've got B.
I'm not sure how it would be solved, actually.
Yeah, it's not solved in any particularly large new way in LAMS version 2, in one sense it's similar. You can do things like do a screenshot of your authoring environment and stick that in as an image as a first notice board, which I've seen some people do, and so on. I've seen lots of people actually just show a sequence first to their students and then launch it separately.
Right.
But no, there isn't yet a sort of show me what's in this sequence before I start it. And that has been an issue for some people, and we're aware of that, and we'll do what we can.
This seems to me kind of related to an issue I've been worrying about with learning design. That